The Marble Hill Church of God Seventh-day Fellowship presents The Way It Ought to Be, with the good news of the Kingdom of God coming to the earth and how you may prepare for it and avoid the calamities just around the corner.
This is Pete Hornbuckle with The Way It Ought to Be program. I want to quote to you what God had to say in Genesis chapter 2, beginning in verse 20. So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Now God is telling us what he did as our Creator. And it sounds like that God knew what he was doing. And I'm sure God did know. I believe God did know. As a matter of fact, I know God knew what he was doing. And I hope you realize that as well. Verse 22. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. He didn't make a man for Adam to marry. He created a woman. I'm glad he did. I married a woman, and I'm glad that I did. And verse 23 continues, And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of a man. Now God made a female for Adam to marry. God didn't make a male for Adam to marry. Can't you imagine how proud Adam was to marry a woman? Don't you know he was so glad God didn't create a man for him to marry? Verse 24 continues, Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. Now, that's what God has commanded us to do. He's commanded us to marry a wife, which is a woman, always a woman. And they shall become one flesh. Now, notice what God did in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. Then God said, Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Now God is telling us what man is to be in charge of, what man is to have dominion over. And you notice he didn't say or that he gave man dominion and power and authority to change his laws or to make his own laws contrary to God's laws. Verse 27, So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Yes, God created male and female. Verse 28 tells us, Then God blessed them, and God said to them, Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. God again tells us what we are to have dominion over, what we are allowed to rule, and what we can do. God did not give man the power or authority to change his laws or to add to or take away from his word or his laws. In Genesis 4, Verses 1 and 2, God continues here, Now Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time, his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Now why did God save four men and four women by the ark when he destroyed all other people? Why did he save male and female of all other species which he had created? It seems we may wonder if God ever did anything right. Oh, that we could have been there to instruct God. That is, if there is a true God. I hope you get the drift. A lot of people doesn't even think there is a God. And it seems that most people doesn't think that God did anything right. Why didn't God just create females or only males? Well, we know, don't we? But it would make you wonder if those five Supreme Court justices know, or those same-sex marriage people know, or the same-sex live-ins, or those that support such abominable acts, which God says is an abomination in his sight. Well, maybe they delight in trampling on truth, God's word, which amounts to trampling on God. And God tells us that we have trampled on His Word, and that we are trampling on His Word. He says His truth has fallen in the streets. This world has always chose the broad way, the broad path of doing what you want to. And I want you to notice what Christ said about that way. That way, my friends, is what brought the flood on the world. That way, the broad path of doing what you want to do, doing it your way, ignoring God, trampling on truth, is what brought Sodom and Gomorrah's demise on them. In Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, God has this to say. Actually, Jesus Christ is the one that made this statement. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. If you think the majority is right, you will be surprised to find they are wrong. The popular way is wrong, and you will find that out someday, my friends. I know that most people doesn't understand that today, but there's coming a day when you will realize that if you follow the crowd, the popular way, the big highway, you will realize that you were wrong, and you're going to pay a penalty for it. Verse 14, Christ continues, He says, Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Yes, Christ said Himself that there are few that find the right path. And He means that in Satan's world, because we are so deceived and so enticed and so persuaded by Satan that most of us doesn't see the right path. The path that leads to life is a very narrow path, but the way that leads to destruction or to our demise is the broad way. Christ said many find that way. Only a few find the path to salvation in Satan's world today. The path that leads to destruction is easy to see. It is the popular way. We seem to maintain that road or that path very well. It is the path that seems right to the carnal mind. We could say it's a 10-way freeway or even more. And it's easy to see, it's easy to travel, it's smooth. At least we think it is. But that's what has given us the rough ride that we find ourselves in. Just maybe we should give God the credit for being wise enough to inspire His Word to be written and preserved to be a guide to our path, at least to those that want to follow God. God has a lot to tell us in His Word. He tells us how to live our life for our own good. He also tells us what will happen if we ignore His way of life, His instruction book, which we have done that. The pre-flood world did, and so have we. Ancient Israel did, and so has modern Israel done. History is filled with mankind making his own rules and the result of doing so. In Proverbs 14, verse 12, I've quoted this many a time on the Way It Ought to Be program, and it is worth listening to, my friend. It's worth memorizing and thinking about. Proverbs 14, verse 12, There is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. God says that's the path that we're on. God says we're going to wind up annihilating all flesh from this planet unless He returns in time to stop it. And He's going to do that. Because of the few that has found that right path, He's going to return and stop mankind from annihilating all flesh. Proverbs 16, verse 25 tells us the same thing. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. God also tells us it's not within man to direct his steps. Man cut off from God, which we are, because we have cut ourselves off from God, because we have followed Satan. God wanted us to understand that leaning only on our own understanding, completely leaving God out, trampling truth, will always lead a nation or an individual to our demise. The Bible and history prove that over and over. The present time that we're living in proves that also. Can't we see that our nation and the whole world is on a path of destruction? Proverbs 16, verse 2, King Solomon was inspired to write, All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. The Lord weighs the spirit, in other words, or the heart. God looks at the heart, as He tells us in His Word. God looks at the attitude. Just as we have just quoted from Proverbs chapter 14 and chapter 16, our way always seems right in our own eyes. Our attitude about things make us think we are right. But if we would ever realize that our attitude is not God's attitude, and that our character is not God's attitude, that our mind is not His mind, then we could understand the only way to be right in mind, attitude, and character is to become converted and begin building the mind of Jesus Christ. But most people doesn't know the path that leads to eternal life or the mind of Christ. After all, that's exactly what Christ commanded us to do. He commands us to build the mind and the attitude of Him and God the Father. My friends, you that still believe in God and try to live according to His Word, please don't let a sinful nation or a world lead, entice, persuaded by Satan, the devil, use anyone or establish any law or ruling of any kind. Don't let it choke you away from God. We need to understand that nothing or anyone can't take you away from God the Father. Can't take you away from God the Father or His Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Only we ourselves can separate us from God. And you know, Paul tells us to let nothing separate us from the love of God. In Proverbs 16, verse 3, God has this to say, "Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established." Indeed, my friends, God is telling us that if we commit our ways to His way, then our thoughts will be established. We will prosper in what we do, and we will have found the path that leads to eternal life. Now, eternal life is a free gift, and I don't teach anything else, neither does the Bible, neither does any other true minister of Jesus Christ. But Christ does tell us that it's only the ones that obey Him that He will give eternal life to. You should ponder that. We are to live our life pleasing to God. Same-sex marriages or live-ins aren't pleasing to God. That is the main reason that Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. It was recorded for our learning. The Lord has made all things for Himself. Verse 4 of Proverbs 16 says, "The Lord has made all things for Himself, yes, even the wicked, for the day of doom." My friends, God is already passing judgment on this earth, and He's already passing judgment on Israel, the United States of America, and the British people and other Israelitish nations. And we should realize that those judgments are going to pick up and be stronger and stronger, just like God passed judgments on Egypt, one at a time. But they got stronger and stronger until He finally humbled them enough to let His people go. God is going to do the same to us until He humbles us enough that we know that our way isn't right. We're offering a couple of booklets today, free of charge, of course, free for your requesting. What does the Bible say about same-sex unions and why Christ must return? You need those booklets, my friends. What does the Bible say about same-sex unions and why Christ must return? Call us, the Marble Hill Church of God, at 573-238-3675, or email us at thewayitoughttobe@hotmail.com, or order online, www.thewayitoughttobe.org. Thanks for listening, my friends. This is Pete Hornbuckle on behalf of the Marble Hill Church of God.
Thanks for listening to Pete Hornbuckle and the Way It Ought to Be program, presented by the faithful members and co-workers of the Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, located on County Road 300, one block north of the Cat Ranch in Marble Hill, meeting Saturday, the Sabbath, at 2 p.m. You can listen to our previously recorded broadcasts or order free literature on our website at www.thewayitoughttobe.org. Or call us at 573-238-3675 or email us at thewayitoughttobe@hotmail.com. Our address is Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, Post Office Box 615, Marble Hill, Missouri 63764.